The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Houston Texans.
All righty, let's go down to Houston, and we're going to welcome in a man right now that usually the last two and a half years when we talk to him, it's always a negative story with the Texans, but now the Texans have their new head football coach, a familiar friend, and a guy that was an unbelievable player for them in D'Amico Ryans. And there's some optimism because they have the second overall pick in the draft. And now joining us is Seth Payne. Seth, I guess it's good to talk about something positive with you for once.
It is. I think the last time I talked to you, I was visiting family in upstate New York, and I was driving through a blizzard. And yeah. And I remember very distinctly thinking I wished I would just go off the road instead of having to keep talking about the Texans. So this is this has been a much more enjoyable experience ever since D'Amico walked in the doors.
So what was your first reaction about D'Amico Ryans getting the job? Because I know that that is basically NFL home for him and what he did in his career. But I was surprised that the guy that was probably the hottest name and the guy that everyone interviewed with ended up with the Texans.
Yeah, I was in a position where I had pretty good reason to believe that D'Amico was interested in the job, but it wasn't anything that I wanted to go public about, and I had to kind of just tell people, listen, these reports that D'Amico doesn't want the job are likely erroneous, and so it was frustrating for a little while there, especially when, you know, there was radio darkness during the playoffs, and D'Amico basically had told the Texans on his interview before they had to go into a moratorium period that he wanted to come to the Texans, that this is where he wanted to be for a multitude of reasons. But that's rare in the NFL. You know, that's rare for an NFL head coach to even have a specific location he wants to be at. They're largely mercenaries going wherever the best opportunity is. But his wife is from Houston. He played here, obviously. And I think what mattered a lot, too, was that he knows the McNair family as opposed to a lot of other people that, you know, think they know what the Texans ownership is about. D'Amico actually knows the McNair family, and I think that helped a lot. So it's a 180-degree difference from how things felt a month or 6 weeks ago.
You were there for his rookie year. What do you remember about your time together with D'Amico Ryans?
I'll tell you, honestly, they put him in as a starter pretty early in camp, and I was in my 10th year in the league at that point. And I was just kind of grumpy about rookies getting starting jobs.
You're
way
like an
too
old
early
dog
anyway.
That doesn't want to play with the puppy.
yeah. So I remember the first day we were in camp and he was in the huddle as a starter, he was having a hard time getting the call out. He was kind of stuttering a little bit. And I yelled at him, and, you know, with a few choice swear words and everything. And I remember he kind of looked at me with this, like this wise old man look about him. It kind of like a beastmaster, he calmed me. And it was really apparent from very early on that he just had a special quality about him that was just born to lead. And, you know, you hear that universally from people that have played alongside of him, the guys that were coached by him in San Francisco. I think sometimes people make the mistake of saying that San Francisco defense is just loaded with talent, and they are, but they're not high draft picks. You know, Fred Warner was a mid-round draft pick. You know, Bosa obviously was a stud, and they got some first-rounders there. But the safety there, Hufanga, was not a high draft pick. They got coached really well by both Robert Saleh and then, you know, now D'Amico Ryans for the last couple of years.
So there's a lot of moving factors here. You got to go get the talent now in that building. But this is the first time in a long time where the Texans make a hire, and it's like, okay, you could actually expect that guy to be there for the rebuild and not just some of their hiring just to hire, and then they'll fire after a year. You're pretty confident that there's not going to be that much of a struggle going from a defensive coordinator to a head coach, because we've seen guys before be these highly touted coordinators and then be disasters as head coaches.
Yeah, you know, and I totally get and generally now go for the idea that you should be hiring an offensive coach if it's a tiebreaker. I think first and foremost, you should be looking for the guys who have the best leadership ability. And, you know, frankly, a lot of guys who are really good coordinators, and we know this by now, it's well established, they get into that head coaching role and they lack those leadership qualities. They lack the ability to delegate, to budget their time, and more than anything, you know, split their energy.
Matt Patricia.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So I think he has all those things. And then the other thing is that, you know, they hire Bobby Slowick, who comes over from San Francisco. And D'Amico spent most of his career as a player and as a coach in a Gary Kubiak or Kyle Shanahan type of system. So I think he is a guy who was very inquisitive from very early on. You know, his rookie year, he was quizzing Matt Schaub all the time. Well, Schaub wasn't there his rookie year, but from very on, early on, you know, he was quizzing Matt Schaub about exactly why the defense operates the way it does. You know, what are they looking at when they make their checks and their calls? And he kept up that curiosity as a defensive player and as a coach. So I think hopefully he has a really good idea of, A, what he's looking for and how to help those guys, to help those offensive coaches. But then, B, you know, there are enough teams running some version of the Kubiak-Shanahan system. I call it the Kubiak-Shanahan system. So we want a Kubiak-Shanahan-y coach because they're easy to replace. It's like a Ford F-150. Like, you can find spare parts for a Ford F-150 because there's so many of them out there. And likewise, with that offense, if you lose an offensive coordinator because he gets a head coaching job, you've got a multitude of other coaches out there who can come in and not have to upend your young quarterback with a whole bunch of new lingo and schemes and philosophies.
Seth Payne here with us. We'll talk about the potential quarterback pick at 2 in just a second, but where's your belief level in Nick Casera? Because it feels like they have the right coach, whatever that means at this stage, but still a lot of questions about Casera.
I think so far, and this is, you know, I know Nick a little bit, and I know D'Amico, you know, somewhat, just from conversations over the years. I was in my last year in the league when he was a rookie, so we didn't spend a lot of time together. But I had a feeling that they would get on very well because they're both guys who I think are really adept at, you know, setting themselves aside, you know, not having big egos about things. So I don't think there is going to be a lot of, you know, stubbornness like it perhaps was at times between various head coaches in the past here with the Texans. You know, somewhere between Kubiak, because Kubiak had no ego either, but there was some butting of heads at times with other guys. So I think that
Bill O'Brien is what Seth is saying.
What's that?
I said Bill O'Brien is what you're alluding
to. Yeah. And I like O'Brien. I think, like, honestly,
he's a bad GM.
Yeah, exactly. That was the biggest mistake the team ever made, and it was just a snowball of effects after that. So those guys so far are getting on really well. I think they see the game and break down the game the same way. So, you know, it's early on. We can be very positive about all this, but I do feel a genuine, like, there's a vibe there between those two that I don't think maybe that Casera might have expected. He was kind of he says he was blown away by D'Amico in the interview, and Nick's like the kind of guy that's going to be able to sell you a line. Like, he's not a natural born salesman, you know. And when he was up in the press conference, he actually looked like he was beaming about the hire of D'Amico. Like, he was just so happy with the interview and the discussions they'd had that it was a really good feeling.
Wrapping up with Seth Payne. So it feels like you guys should have the number one overall pick, but we know you messed that up at the end of the year. If you guys did have the number one overall pick, would it be Bryce Young, in your opinion?
It's, you know, they've done a really good job of not leaking anything at all. I think it would be Bryce Young, just because, again, between both those guys, between D'Amico and Nick, I think there's both those guys want football players first and foremost, and I think they're willing to set aside some of the measurables. I love Bryce Young. I am as nervous as hell about his frame size. I wouldn't mind if he was just short, but he's we try to compare him to Doug Flutie, and I think Flutie was a little bit thicker than him, you know. So that's what makes me nervous. I'm sure it probably makes some people nervous there, but I think he's the best football player amongst all those top quarterback prospects.
Do you think they'll have to move up to one to get him? Because it seems like, according to what Jim Irsay said at that introductory press conference, that they love that Alabama quarterback. So do you fear maybe the Colts moving into that one spot?
This is where I am with Jim Irsay. I think he's smarter than people, or maybe he's a little less crazy than people want to believe that he is. But I don't think he's genius enough to throw that out there when they actually do want Bryce Young. It feels like that was a lot of smoke that he threw out there with the vague notion that, hey, we'll throw some smoke out there. But I don't think he would have done it if he actually liked Bryce Young. So the fact that I had to think about it that much means that Jim Irsay has already – I've been bested by Jim Irsay.
So basically what you're saying is he wants the Texans to take Bryce Young because they want C.J. Stroud probably.
Yeah, or maybe they don't have strong feelings about either guy, but they'd love for the Texans to blow a few draft picks on trying to trade up one spot.
Do you think there's any chance – I know they're sitting there at 2 and then 12. Do you think there's any chance at 2 they don't take a quarterback?
The Colts? Or, oh,
no,
the Texans.
I
do think there's that chance. And part of that is both D'Amico and Nick have experience now. You know, Caserio through New England and D'Amico through San Francisco, they understand that there's multiple different ways you can get a quarterback and that the draft is just one of them. So especially, you know, these last few years, some Super Bowl winning teams have had some success trading for veteran quarterbacks. So Casario's mentioned multiple times that, hey, the draft is just one tool for acquiring players. So, yeah, if they are just too scared off by Bryce Young's size, or maybe they just don't like him for whatever reason, I don't think that they would have a problem standing pat. And because of the goodwill that came with the fan base, because the fans are just over their, you know, over the moon about D'Amico, I think people are willing to be patient for a year and just see where it takes them if they decide not to draft a quarterback this year.
I think that would mean they would have to make a move rather quickly on Carr, or maybe you could wait a little bit with Jimmy G. Is that in play, in your opinion?
I think, honestly, I could see them taking Anthony Richardson as a project, a guy that might not need to play immediately. And people probably think this sounds crazy. If they don't take a quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if Davis Mills ends up at least getting a chance to start.
Wow.
Because it's going to be stock the roster up as much as possible and then move forward from there. I don't know if they want to be aggressive enough and blow those draft picks or cap space on Garoppolo or Carr just yet.
Interesting. Appreciate the time. Thank you, Seth.
I mean, my pleasure.